Hear the words of our call to worship. Let us gather here together in love and compassion. Let us worship through our minds as we seek to know each other more deeply and work to understand the mysteries of the world we share. Let us worship through our hearts as we seek to be welcomed and accepted. Let us first extend those gifts to others. Let us worship through the work of our hands. Let us work together to build a just world, a place where we can be safe and free together. Let us worship not in servitude, but in reverence, as we recognize the sacredness of all people, all beings, all things. Let us worship not in fear, but in opening all the windows to our soul, and let in the light from which we all share. Let us worship through singing and dancing, through our laughter and our tears, through the strength of community of beneficence. Let us gather now to worship in love and compassion. And now we will light our chalice. From the burning brilliance of the stars to the twinkling spark of the passion of life that shines within us all, we light this chalice. Let its flickering flame remind us of our common desire for compassion, comfort, and community. And at least as long as it may glow, let it be a beacon of truth and meaning, joy and solace. And may we be the congregation of peace and understanding that we dream the world can be. Our first hymn is number 186. Grieve not your heart for want of place, nor yearn for easy praise, but fit yourself some task to do, and well employ your day. From wise and foolish both alike, should all try to learn, for one can show us how to build, the other what to spurn. Be fair to people when they hear, when good your pleasure show, their faults be quick to understand, judging them be slow. But this above all else obey, it is the best of goals. What you should wish not done to you, do not to other souls. And now let us share together the words of our covenant. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Words of prayer and meditation today are by Tamara Labak from a prayer called Prayer of Purpose and Inner Fire. Afterwards, we'll share a moment of silence. Let us remember the blessings of purpose that we have received throughout our lives. When the fire of our soul burned brightly, those moments of clarity, when our direction felt in line with a greater purpose, when the doors of opportunity were easy to see and even easier to open, those moments of clarity when even strangers felt like family. We ask this day to have that clarity of spirit come forth into our lives again with the power of a mighty wind, opening the horizons of our hearts and minds to that inner fire which burns inside us all. May we be inspired this day to sing out praise of this glorious life in a language beyond the power of speech, in a language of action, so that our lives might be a beacon of justice and love, and the world might know hope through our story, our song, our steps taken. We ask this day that our inner fire burn brightly with compassion and courage and love for whatever number of days ahead are still ours to claim. These and the many prayers of our hearts, we pray now in the silence. So may it be. Our next hymn is number 184, and I'll do it a cappella, and we'll just do it twice. If you want to listen the first time, if you're not familiar with it, that's fine, and join in the second time, or just listen, whatever you want to do is fine. So let me set this up. Be ye lamps unto ourselves, be your own confidence. Hold to the truth within yourselves as to the only lamp. Be ye lamps unto yourselves, be your own confidence. Hold to the truth within yourselves as to the only lamps. And now I'm going to offer you a couple of readings, actually three readings, that are related to my sermon today. The first reading is by Neil Donald Walsh in his book, Conversations with God. What the soul is after is the highest feeling of love you can imagine. This is the soul's desire. This is its purpose. The soul is after the feeling, not the knowledge, but the feeling. It already has the knowledge, but knowledge is conceptual. Feeling is experiential. The soul wants to feel itself, and thus to know itself in its own experience. The highest feeling is the experience of unity with all that is. This is the great return to truth for which the soul yearns. This is the feeling of perfect love. My second reading is from Margaret J. Wheatley. As many of you probably know, I am a student at Star King School for the Ministry, and we have to read at least 5,000 books a day, I'm sure. And so this is one of them, and I found this quote, and I thought it fit. So Margaret J. Wheatley from her book, Leadership and the New Science. As we mature in life, we search to see a deeper meaning and more coherent purpose behind the events and crises that compose our lives. Each of us seeks to discover a meaning to our life that is wholly and uniquely our own. We experience a deepening confidence that purpose has shaped our lives, even as it moved invisibly in us. Whether we believe that we create this meaning for ourselves in a senseless world, or that it is offered to us by a purposeful universe, it is, after all, only meaning that we seek. And my third reading is from Douglas Adams, his book called Life, the Universe, and Everything. The alien ship was already thundering towards the upper reaches of the atmosphere. Its occupant, the alien with the expensive complexion, leaned back in its single seat. His name was Wowbagger the Infinitely Prolonged. He was an alien with a purpose. Not a very good purpose, as he would have been the first to admit, but it was at least a purpose, and it did at least keep him on the move. Wildbagger closed his eyes in a grim and weary expression, put some light jazz on the ship's stereo, and reflected that he could have made it if it hadn't been for our Sunday afternoons. In the end, it was the Sunday afternoons he couldn't cope with, and with terrible listlessness, which starts to set in at about 2:55, when you know that you've had all the baths you can usefully have that day, that however hard you stare at any paragraph in the papers, you will never actually read it, or use the revolutionary new pruning technique it describes, and that as you stare at the clock, the hands will move relentlessly on to 4 o'clock, and you will enter the long, dark tea time of the soul. So things began to pale for him. The merry smiles he used to wear at other people's funerals began to fade. He began to despise the universe in general and everyone in it in particular. This was the point at which he conceived his purpose, the thing which would drive him on and which, as far as he could see, would drive him on forever. It was this. He would insult the universe. So some of the music I am sharing with you today is part of a project that I was assigned or given at the school. And the one part of the project was to write 26 new songs in a contemporary format. For this summer's service is passion. What is passion? Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines passion as an intense, driving, or overmastering feeling or conviction. Now keep in mind that as I move on here, because I'm going to talk about something else first and then show how passion is a key ingredient to my topic. As Margaret Wheatley reminds us, each of us seeks to discover a meaning to our life that is wholly and uniquely our own. I want to talk today about finding a life purpose. This has been an important subject for me for a very long time, and I'm sure that some of you think about it often as well. In fact, I suspect that almost all of you have thought about it at one time or another in your life. Psychologists tell us that meaning and purpose are key ingredients to happiness, and who doesn't want a little happiness in their lives? Now, being the student type that I am, I did a little research on the topic and found a book entitled The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? By Rick Warren. This is a very popular book, and its title seemed to go directly to my question. As many of you know, the book was written by an evangelical Christian pastor. Though I did find some interesting nuggets in the book, the overall theology behind the proposed answers simply did not work for me. In essence, Warren tells us that our purpose in life is to love and serve God. That is a useful answer for some. As I said, it didn't work for me. I continued to do some research and eventually came up with what I thought were some interesting and innovative concepts to answer the question I put before myself. I collected those ideas into my own book, and I have to admit, I got a little cocky and decided to name the book The Purpose-Derived Life, Why in the Universe Am I Here? If you will allow me, I would like to share with you some of the thoughts I put into this book. Maybe it will work for you, or maybe it won't, but you can at least get a different perspective. In his book, Warren chose to look to God for answers, since it was evident that his conception of God was vastly different than mine. I decided to look in another direction. I chose to look to nature for answers. Before I go into that, however, I need to clarify some definitions that arose as I was working on the book. The question at hand is, how do you discover your life purpose? But I had to do some thinking about defining a life purpose. I decided that there were actually two types of life purpose. I chose to name them intrinsic and extrinsic. An intrinsic purpose is created by the qualities of a thing, while an extrinsic purpose is given to a thing by another. Let's take a tree as an example. The intrinsic purpose of a tree is to live and grow. That is what it does through the interaction of its constituent parts. From the moment a tree seed germinates in the ground, all its components work to survive and grow into a tree. That growth is not just for itself, but also for its species, because it will produce additional seeds that will hopefully become future trees. If someone comes along and cuts down that tree to, say, make a log cabin, that tree has now been given another purpose, an extrinsic purpose. Its purpose will be to support the log cabin. That purpose was given to it by another being, namely an axe-wielding, house-building human. An extrinsic purpose was given to the log by another being. In looking at the whole of nature to define a purpose, I wanted to determine if the universe had an intrinsic purpose. That is to say, a purpose not given to it by another being, including humans. Can we determine such a purpose? If so, then what is it? That is where I decided to start my search. The current theory about the start of the universe is the famous Big Bang theory. As you probably know, many scientists believe that the entire universe may have started out as a very minute ball of energy, which at some point exploded and sent energy out across the expanse of space we now call our universe. And that process continues to this day. In fact, numerous scientific studies have demonstrated that the universe continues to expand. So the universe, at least as we know it, began with a massive expansion of heat and energy. Though the force of gravity does produce stars and planets and moons, all of those things are mostly in the process of decaying. You see, if the universe is considered a closed system, meaning that there is nothing else to influence it, then according to the laws of thermodynamics, it must be undergoing a process called entropy. In scientific terms, entropy is defined as a thermodynamic quantity representing the unavailability of a system's thermal energy for conversion into mechanical work, often interpreted as the degree of disorder or randomness in the system. In less words, we might understand entropy as when a system seeks equilibrium by going from a high order of organization to a low order of organization. It's like when you get on the subway. People tend to spread out in the car as far away from each other as possible. When the car is full, you don't see everyone sitting on top of each other at one end of the carriage. People spread out as best as they can to claim their own space. It appears that atoms do the same. They prefer to spread out in a space rather than clump together, except when magnetic or electric forces move them together. They would rather dart about freely in a state that might appear to us to be chaotic. A high degree of organization or order is called low entropy, and a high degree of disorganization or chaos is called high entropy. Overall, the universe is moving from a low state of entropy toward a high state of entropy, or from a highly organized ball of energy to a rapidly expanding state of apparent chaos. Entropy is the essence of the universe. Entropy, to me, is the intrinsic purpose of the universe. Let's take another example. Your kitchen, for instance, or any place where you might eat. If that place is an absolute mess, if there are dirty dishes everywhere and leftover food that's starting to look like some kind of chemistry experiment, or pots and pans strewn about, maybe the chairs are out of place and the table is messy and dirty, you might say that such a messy place is in a low state of order or a high state of entropy. It wouldn't matter if you moved a plate or two because the kitchen would still be a mess. The state of entropy does not change. In fact, it won't change at all unless you, or someone you love to assign chores to, puts forth a great deal of energy and cleans it all up. On the other hand, if your kitchen is organized and spotless, we might say that it is in a low state of entropy or chaos and a high state of order. If you took one single plate out and left it out, it would be easily noticed. It would be out of order. Think about where you live as a whole. No matter how clean it is right now, if you left it alone, it would eventually become disordered on its own. Weeds grow, spider webs appear, dirt and dust accumulate, things fall apart. It takes a constant application of energy to maintain order or to fight off the universal condition of entropy. Let's take one final example, an egg. An egg is perfectly ordered. It has a hard shell that holds a white substance inside, which surrounds the yellow yolk. It is in low entropy, and the universe does not want it to stay that way. If I crack that egg, which I didn't, there we go, the shell will break apart and the liquids inside will spill out and dissipate as far as they can and make a mess. Here's the other thing about entropy. It tends to move in one direction. No matter how hard I try, I will not be able to get that egg back together the way it was before. Even if I just left it alone, it would eventually decay and crack open. That's the way of entropy, and what physicists call the arrow of time. It only moves in one direction. In thinking about entropy as the intrinsic purpose of the universe, I wondered if the scientific maxim was true. You know the one. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. I wondered if there was an opposing force to entropy. There is gravity, of course. Gravity can cause elements to come together to form stars and planets and other bodies, but even these things begin a process of decay the moment they are formed. I wondered if there was something else that could be called into balance to balance the force of entropy, and the answer I came up with was life. Life is a force that seeks to maintain stasis. All life works to survive as individuals and as a species. All life procreates and develops offspring that gather energy to grow. That is its intrinsic purpose. This, I believe, is the opposite of entropy, and some have called this force syntropy. And the force that makes this all possible, the field of energy, if you will, that the uniting power that makes it possible to sustain one's life, to band together with others for survival, and to make procreation possible, that force is love. Love is what makes us who we are. Love is the force that resists chaos. Love is what makes life possible. Love is our intrinsic purpose, is what our body and souls crave. As Neil Donald Walsh says, what the soul is after is the highest feeling of love you can imagine. Now, for most beings, it is not enough just to live, to survive, to prosper, and to propagate. But this is not so for humans and maybe some other beings. Humans do want to survive and propagate, especially at times like spring break. But for most people, that is just not enough. Most people also want to live their lives, to have meaning and purpose, and to have those things guide them through the glories and pitfalls of life. Humans seek an extrinsic purpose, even if that purpose is to insult the universe on a daily basis. I simply do not believe that a singular purpose has been scripted out for us and all that we need to do is find it, nor do I believe it is ordained through a higher power. I believe we need to seek it on our own. I also believe that we can have more than one purpose in life depending on the roles we play within our groups and communities, but I am speaking of that one overarching purpose that leads us through life and instills within us a sense of fulfillment and joy, and the reason I called my book The Purpose Derived Life. The way to find that purpose, I believe, is to first follow your intrinsic purpose. That is to say, you need to find ways to survive and thrive, and the path to do that is through love. We excel best when we support each other, when we care for each other, when we respect each other, and when we help each other grow. It turns out that love is also the path to finding the bigger purpose as well. When you pursue things that you love to do, you develop a passion for those things. You see? I did get around to the theme after all. Passion. Your great life purpose is intimately connected to your passions. When you find a passion for something, anything positive, you should pursue that passion. If a purpose does not reveal itself through it immediately, it will. Sometimes the passion is the purpose, and sometimes it leads to another revelation about purpose. I am convinced that each and every person in this world, and that means you, has unique talents and skills, and if you don't think you do, then I believe it is because you may have not discovered them yet. So if you haven't found your guiding purpose in life and want to look for it, I recommend these steps. First, discover who you are. Second, discover your passions. And third, follow your passions. to discover yourself, read about other people, learn about personalities, observe yourself and others, and be willing to constantly reflect on what you do. Discover your passions. Try anything, everything, even things you think you don't like. There are millions of things out there waiting for you to discover them. How will you know when you found a passion? You will feel it in your body. Passion doesn't live in the head. If you find you lose yourself in the activity or entering what athletes call the zone, you will know you have found something important. Your body knows when you are on the right path. Your breath is slow, your muscles are relaxed, and you feel a welcome tingling all over. Most of all, your mind is free of self-judgment and in a state of wonderment. Those are the signs of passion. Once you have discovered those passions, then follow them in any way you can and let them lead you down a road of even greater discovery. It is when we can release a sense of ourselves as independent beings and feel ourselves as part of a continuously changing force of life that we can enjoin ourselves to the intrinsic purpose of life. We are here to survive and to make meaning out of that survival. We are here to create, not just to further our species, but to fill the world with wonder and beauty. And finally, we are here to find joy and to share that joy with others by connecting the other to the living, loving, expansive force of the universe. When we do this, the journey to purpose becomes more than an interesting individual pursuit. It becomes a personal, spiritual quest, the result of which enriches our own lives as well as the lives of those around us. Ashe, amen, so may it be. Join me now in our final hymn, number 288, and once again I will share the music with you. All our architects of fate, working in these walls of time, some with massive deeds and great, some with ornaments of rhyme. For the structure that we raise, time is with materials filled. Our todays and yesterdays are the blocks with which we build today, then strong and sure, with a firm and ample base, and ascending and secure, shall tomorrow find its place. And I share with you this benediction, go in peace, return in wonder. Go in friendship, return in communion. Go in love, return in compassion. Go in hope, return in wholeness. Go in faith, return in sanctity. So may it be. And now we will join together for our benediction.
Sacred is everything. Everything.